and say, we're going to meet with the family of God. And the good news is that whenever the family of God chooses to meet together, God always shows up. Always. It's interesting to watch us sing our way into His presence. We start out, we sing it again. But by the time we get to, you're wonderful, you're glorious, shout it from the housetops, then things change. And you know there's a lesson in that. You can do that at home. And we should do it. How many of you were here when Pastor received the positional change in his ministry? How many of you were here? That was a beautiful time. And the Lord said some things that I hope you heard near the closing of that, when he said, CFTN, you too will have to grow. Some new responsibilities. All of us know that Jesus is our example. And it's much easier to sing, you overcame, you overcame, you than I overcame. But as Pastor Bob said, everything Jesus did is an example for us. If he overcame, we can overcome. When Jesus started his ministry, it is, in my opinion, which you all know makes it right, that he really only had 3 points. Everything he said, change your minds, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But his ministry really surrounded these 3 thoughts that you have in your notes and probably, I don't know, is on the screen or not. Healing, say it. Hope and holiness. If those 3 things exist in us as individuals, we will be able to do what we keep claiming we are going to do. Thank you for that. You can stay. If there comes healing and hope and holiness in each individual, we really will change Phoenix. We really will reach out to the world. Things will really happen. If they don't, we're just talking. The definition of healing is to make better, make well, to cure. I was talking with someone who had a disability and they were on disability, could no longer work for a living. And I said, well, I'm going to pray for your healing. And she said, well, don't just pray for my healing, pray for my cure. I said, I'll do that. Miracles are taking place in this person. There was a source underneath that needed the cure, needed a change. And really, if you look at Rapha and Therapio and Lameo and Diazio, those are Greek and Hebrew terms, but they mean making better, making well, curing, treating, restoring to health, recovering, relieving, help, lessen pain, put right, and repair. Woo! If God will do that for us, look out, world. And he can and will and has already supplied everything that will grant that to us. Now, I know what pain is. I do understand pain. I've been prayed for by the best, and I've had prophetic words. I know that he is curing, healing, and whatever else. But I've learned something about pain. Pain can be one of 2 things. It can either be the lifter of our soul or the discouragement of it. The enemy wants pain to be a distraction. And people that have pain can't think of anything other than their pain. And so they come to church with, I can't wait until the sermon's over. I'm going to go down and be prayed for and maybe the Lord will heal me. Let me tell you something. There's a higher way to operate. If you start your day saying you are glorious, you are wonderful, you are victorious, you are the one, I praise you, Lord, that as Pastor Bob said, we could get up this morning. I know people my age that can't. We could get up, we could dress. You like my dress? I did that just for you. We can get ourselves ready and we can go out and we own automobiles, many of us, and we come to church. We are so blessed. And the enemy fears that we might realize the fullness of our blessing. So he allows pain to come and he'll do everything he can to make you focus on whatever hurts. So Paul said, I rejoice in my suffering for you. And I never understood that for years. I thought, I don't rejoice in my suffering. And one time the Lord said to me, no, and you should. Because the trust that we have in him is that he, in his time, in his day, in his way, is going to make us whole. Whether here or there, it does not matter. In the interim period, it is our prod stick. You have to prod animals along to get them to move sometimes. And I hate watching it when they have spurs on those horses and they kick them and I feel that. And that's what the Lord does with things that aren't quite right in your mind, aren't quite right in you. Hurts of the past, we hear about that here over and over and over. And yet, it says that he will restore and put all the pieces back in place. Why do you still hurt over something someone did to you, said to you, caused pain in your life, or because of what they said, you lost an opportunity? Why is that still prevalent? It can go right now if you'll let go of it. In Jesus' name. It can go. I speak to that thing. Go. And let the joy, we sang of it, let the joy of the Lord do his work. It is to strengthen us. His joy is to strengthen us. The Bible says, my glory and the lifter of my head. Now, if you understand, years ago when they traveled from place to place in the desert, and they would, many times a guy would be alone. He would be go to one place to get supplies and come back another, and they'd walk across the desert and have that thing across, their yoke across to carry, and their head would be down, and someone would come along and say, let me help you, and they would lift the load and take part of it. And the man would stand tall and say, oh, you're my glory and the lifter of my head. Are you there, church? You need to let the Lord take his share. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I am the lifter of your head. I'll take that part that's weighing you down, because I will never, never allow you to be tested beyond that you're able to bear. So what right do we have to walk around with our head down? I'm just waiting. I don't know, Pastor Debbie. I've had promises and they're not fulfilled. And I've come to just despise the prophetic word. I just hate it when somebody says, God had the word for you. Ugh. How can I describe that so aptly? None of your business. But then I read this scripture and it says, despise not prophesying. And I think, Wow, I wonder why he put that in there. So when Jesus started his ministry, he was just a young man, just 30 years old. That looks awfully young to me. And when he started his ministry, he came with the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is here. And he spoke of healing, of hope, and of holiness. And that is the whole kingdom message. You can take a whole lot of other things and become a Bible wired for sound. Repeat verses and try to win people. And all the rest. But the truth is, if we come with healing having, listen, taken place in us, the hurts are healed. They say, but I still have thoughts. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength. Change your thinking. Change it. Just change your thinking. Now, you have to praise the Lord for every pain. Praise the Lord that he's got a plan that's bigger than whatever you're feeling right now. Praise the Lord that he is going to get such glory through your life. Praise the Lord now for what will be. Praise the Lord for what has been. Praise the Lord at all times. That's what the verse means. All kinds. So Jesus came on the scene, unknown, and started preaching. Interesting to me. Very interesting what he started with. You know, how do you start? And where was he? In Gill's commentary, it says, and I'm going to read Matthew 4 to you in just a minute, parts of it. And Jesus went about all Galilee, having called four of his disciples. He started out with four. He took the tour through Galilee. And Gill's commentary says, Galilee was a country, listen, because this is CFTN, a country mean, despicable, inhabited by poor persons, illiterate, vile, and wicked. What a place to start a ministry. There were a few synagogues where they met lawfully. It's like people sometimes do, it's Sunday, so we'll go to church. Not, it's Sunday, we're going to go to church and meet the Lord, but it's Sunday, so let's pay our due and go. But they had these few places, but they didn't worship, they just read the law. I'll leave that. And Jesus went to these places and wherever they would listen to him. And here's what he said, verses 23 to 25, chapter 4, Matthew. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought to him sick people that were taken with diverse diseases, many diseases, torments, those who were possessed with devils, those who were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, he healed them. Praise the Lord. We like to pick and choose our places. But you'll find the greatest ministry taking place today is right among these kinds of people. They need to be healed. And church, I know it's a tough thing to say to you, but every once in a while they put me up here and that's what I do. It is time for us to get healed if we're going to bring healing to others. Because we overcome by the word of our testimony. And our testimony has to be personal. It's not just that Jesus overcame. Our testimony has to be, he's done this for me. Look what he did for my marriage. Look what he did for my kids. Look what he did in my body. Look at my mind used to be unclear. I used to be all the terms we now know. ADHD, all these things. I used to be those things. I asked for prayer. Suddenly, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. You can't be touched by him and not be joyful. You cannot. Once he touches you, he touched me and made me whole. So I don't care what your background is, how long you've been a loony. There's healing for you even this morning. There's healing. But you need to know why. It's so often that when he heals somebody, they immediately got up and served. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. She got right out of bed. Okay, what can I fix you guys? The purpose of being healed is to become a healer. That hit her. The purpose of becoming whole is to make other people whole. To be able to come with this message that is alive within. Why else should he heal you? So you can sit in the pew and pout like you've done? See, we have to know why God is going to do for us. Well, because he's so good. That's true. And he's healed you many, many times. You've never recognized it. You've never given him credit. You've never gone off with the power of healing in your body. When he heals you, he leaves resident within you a power to touch others. And we are living in a time, my friend, we talk about money and things that people have lost and so on. That is a time for his little light to shine. What's his name? Mark. It is a time, next time you take a picture of him, we'll just put the camera in the right place. But he said, this little light of mine, how big is your light? You didn't have to be very big to shine in a very dark place. He said, well, I don't know enough scripture to minister to others. Do you know one? Do you know one? You know the one, that's all. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten. Do you know one? Do you know one testimony? Has he done anything in you? Has he done anything for you? Walk up to a stranger who's in worse shape than you and impart to them the life that is within you. See what God will do. There's an expression that needs to come. Paul regarded healing as an opportunity, listen, for all believers to pray for one another and give thanksgiving to God and to trust God to continue to answer prayer. It's in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 to 11. We don't want you to be misinformed, uninformed, brothers and sisters, about our troubles. We experienced in the province of Asia there. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Whew. You ever been there? I think some of us have been on the brink of death, right on the edge. And he says now, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, he says, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Now, this has to become, listen to Mama this morning, this church has to be made up of intercessors, or our pastor cannot fulfill his commission. And if you are just self-focused, I need a house, I need a car, I need healing, if you are self-focused, you are not an intercessor, you're a whiner. We were all so excited. when hands were laid on our pastor and the commission was made, and he will be charging over all these churches. Oh, that's exciting. I don't know how big they are. Maybe there's three people in some of them. I don't care. He can come in there and bring a stick of kindling that's on fire and set that place aflame. Only, though, if he has our backing. Only, though, if he has our backing. Our kids can know the impartation of the Holy Spirit like they did on the first day that they had this big change. And they told me that three little kids, young kids, were filled with the Holy Spirit speaking with tongues. I love it. But that should happen every week. Our kids are in classes and learning to minister. And I hope you will be here and learn to prophesy and learn to do different things that you're being taught. And that should happen all the time. Your practice should be is in your home, on your job, in the street, everywhere we go. How often do we pray for our leaders? And how fervently? Paul said, we couldn't rely on our own strength. Not this time. We felt like this was it. I've had many things in my life, but he says, this was it. And yet he said, he has delivered us from such a peril. Oh, he says, I've been here before. The Lord has delivered us from such a peril, and he will deliver us again. I could preach a week on that. What he's done for you once, hello? On him, Paul says, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. I'm so thrilled at your testimony today. What a thing that three youngsters separated in a horrendous condition and situation should be found individually and find themselves a family rescued. That is wonderful. And that needs to be happening here. That they're out on the street. I'm glad it's happening in Cambodia, but they're out on the streets here. And there are people lonely as you are lonely. Well, nobody ministers to me. Well, go minister to them, and then they'll minister to you. Paul says anything he's done for me before, and we've been here, he will take care of it. There are lots of negatives, church. I know, I do understand. I know what's going on, in part, of course, in our country. I know what's going on in Israel. I know these things. And what we really want is to come together and have someone tell us where we are in the end times. And I'm going to tell you, nobody knows. Nobody knows. And I say that absolutely and clearly, and I'll face anyone who's preaching it. Because when people want to hear something, it's a good money maker if you tell them. I believe with all my heart that we don't need to know right now if the Lord is going to return, catch us away, the church, like some teach, or if he's going to return and sit here and we're going to be with. I don't know. And you shouldn't care. I do know this. He has given us a commission. We are commissioned to do the very same thing Jesus did. Wherever we find someone who has a need, remember that you have within you the power to meet that need. Well, I'm just as poor as they are. Then make them rich in Christ. Hello. Why do you think you're here? Why are we here? Why did you get a promotion? Why do you have the memories that you have in ministry? Why? Look at the why. It's just like Paul said, oh, on him we've set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. What he did in the past, he will continue to do. There isn't anything what was, is, what is, was, what is going to be. There is nothing new. God has everything under control. So don't sit around and wait for Jesus to return. Be working, active. Be utilizing the talents that He has given us. We shouldn't be begging in a church like this for help, for volunteers. Little kids are more techie than me. My granddaughter got a new telephone and she didn't know how to use it, so she handed it to my great-granddaughter and said, "Fix this for me." And she went, "There, Mommy." So don't sit there and say, "Well, I have no technology experience." You're techie. I watch you techie in church. Every promise, maybe a couple of you are old enough to remember when we used to sing, "Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line." Okay, you weren't. But, "And I'm trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the..." I like to sing for her because she always says, "Yeah, go." "In the book is mine. The promises of God. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." He's there. You don't need a telephone to call somebody. When you're faced with a person that needs healing, hope, or holiness, right then you call on the Holy Spirit. "Holy Spirit, rise up. Holy Spirit, give me the words to speak. Holy Spirit." He's there. He's faithful. And He will. And you will be so excited. You'll be so, "Oh, I didn't know I could do that." You didn't. "Therefore, we will not fear," listen, "though the earth give way," Psalm 46, "and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and the foam and the mountain quake with their singing." We will not fear. We've seen some of this. You know, can you take this or not? How about church in the back? Okay. We have already experienced many prophetic moves. And instead of moving in them with the prophetic, we name them. We have already experienced many prophetic signs that the Lord has shown us, just like I just read to you, when the ocean gave way and came in and just went beyond its boundaries and took people. We said, "Well, what do we call it?" We call it a tsunami. That isn't the point. Don't name it. That's what we've done with every revival. Rather than understand, "Oh, God who controls the sea has relaxed His control on a nation that is doing all kinds of despicable things, and He wants to get the attention of His people so that we will rush over and bring healing and hope and holiness to the remainder." It isn't so we can name it. "Oh, well, I'm going to get in a plane and fly to such and such because they're having revival." They named it. Hello. You don't like this? Okay. "Mary had a little lamb." Yakal, that is translated sometimes hope, really means trust. And the Bible says in Psalm 31, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Will you please see this like the tsunami? Will you see how this is written? "Be of good courage." That's your part. "And He shall strengthen your heart, ye that hope in the Lord." But everything's falling apart. Stir up your courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the willingness to take a step in the thing you do fear. Stepping. over. I've never done this before, but God said, yes, that's courage. I'm not sure this will work, but you say, well, that's not faith. We're talking about courage. You don't have to worry about faith if you have courage. You step into courage or with courage, and faith is there. You can't have courage without faith. You don't have to name it. Are you getting that? See, you name things, and then you're sure of what you don't have. Okay, some of you got it. I'm going to take all of you who got it to a separate room. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord, you'll find it. Honest, it works. Help us hope, expectation. And every man, every, say it. That word man is persons, every human being. 1 John 3:3. Every man that hath this hope inside of him purifieth himself, even as he, Christ, is pure. Wow. If you have hope in God, that God is working all things together for good. How many believe that? That doesn't mean God causes everything. It means that he looks down at the crazy things we cause and says, now, how can I make that into a tapestry of beauty? And he does. The Bible hope is the anticipation of a favorable outcome with God. I have said to him many times, oh, so many times, how are you going to get glory out of this? How are you going to get glory out of this? God, this is a problem. I don't know how. And the answer always is the same. You don't have to know how. How many times have I shared with you that he says, I am the Lord and ye are not. So when I trust the Lord, I am so glad I can trust the Lord. How is he going to do it? Mm-mm. I don't know how he takes the tangled threads of our lives and weaves them into a tapestry with his face on it. I don't get that at all. I just experience. I have seen it over and over in my almost 84 years. I have seen God do that. And he will. Paul says, we're just almost to death, but I know what he's done in the past, and I know he's going to continue to do it, and he will do it. He's going to make things right for you. Now, in your prayer life, the diversion, just like on pain, the diversion will be trying to figure it out. I don't know how he's. My life's shattered. My home is gone. Things aren't working. Blah, blah, blah. I don't have a job. Blah, 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 blah. Quit bawling. And come to him and say, you did this before. And you've done it for them. What is done for others, he'll do for you. If we put our trust in the Lord, it cannot fail. Woo! And if you have this hope in yourself, you purify yourself even as he is pure. Now, I don't know if I can make this clear. I've prayed yesterday and last night and today. Because if I say it wrong, you're going to have a problem. I'm not going to have a problem because I know what I'm trying to say. Every time we preach sanctification and coming out of what we once were and moving into what we should be, and putting off the old and putting on the new, there is a tendency in, it seems to me, the majority, to pick up behavioral counseling. In my life, I have never seen so many what are called life coaches. Go online, they're just... And they'll charge you to coach your life. Really? I believe in counsel, and I think, oh, thank God for Dr. McCray and all his classes and blah, 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 blah. I thank God for what goes on here. Thank God we even have a deliverance ministry. But if your life is there and you never come out of that with it, what good is it? And why the whole Christian world needs a coach when it's, you know, advertisement where the little kids all sit around with a grown man and talk about crazy things. You know how it ends? The man listens and he says, that's a good idea. That's, oh, a candy car. Oh, that's a good idea. And you're going to help the world. Oh, that's good. And then he looks up and says, it's not complicated. And every time he says it, I think, that'll preach. It's not complicated. It's healing, hope, and holiness. Now, how do we get this holiness? We have forgotten what it is to be born again. When you accept Jesus Christ into your life and really say to Him, I am sorry for my sin. I acknowledge you as Savior. Be the Lord of my life. You are given a new life. Old things pass away. You are born again. Hello? Nicodemus said, how can I go in my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, you don't get it. You have to be born of water, born of the Spirit, and you'll have a new life. That's why we baptize people. To recognize that new life buried with Christ by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, listen, Romans 6 something, even so, 3 I think, we also ought to walk in newness of life. It's not like this. Dear Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. And now, would you, life coach, would you tell me how to live? Yes. Here are the do's and here are the don'ts. You do the do's, refrain from the don'ts, and you may make it into heaven. I grew up in that. The word holy was a negative. A very big negative, unless we attributed it to God only. You say, holiness. Oh, we don't go for that. We're free. Not unless you're holy. You're not free. You're just without conscience. Sanctification is the assurance of hope. When you get your life cleaned up, and a great deal of that, sir, is your responsibility. A great deal of that, lady, is your responsibility. The things you once did, look at them just long enough to not do them. Because you're new. And the Bible says, put on the new man. Put on the new. I would like to read the whole third chapter of Colossians to you right now. If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Oh, well, you know, I have responsibilities. I have a job. I have a family. I have children. I'm in the world. I mean, but you're not of it. And some people think that is, I told a group I was ministering to just yesterday. I said, you know, some people are afraid. They go into a restaurant and something takes place in there, maybe drinks or smoking or something that they are against. And they, en masse, get up with their Bibles and walk out. And I said, what are you afraid of? Well, you know, my mother told me, if you play with those kids, you'll become just like them. I know I grew up with that. Don't stay around people that are different from us, because then you'll take on their difference. We got it backwards. We got it backwards. We need to teach our kids, when you're around something that conflicts with holiness, you stand outstanding and let your light shine so that others may see and rejoice. Can't go on. Hebrews 6:17. I don't even see a clock, am I? Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs. Who are you? Is that us? All right. To the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered us may be greatly encouraged. Holiness and the teaching of it should be an encouragement. When we are healed, body, mind, soul, and spirit, wholeness comes. Wholeness gives us a hope that cannot be received any other way. There's no other way. You could talk about it. I have hope. Yeah, I hope someday that things will change. I hope this will happen. I hope this. That's the world's hope. That's Santa Claus. That's I wish. But when you are made whole, oh, church, I pray you have ears to hear. When He touched you today, this very day, He put within you a new appreciation of Himself, a rock, we sing it here, on Christ, the solid rock, I said, and that hope brings you to a purifying of yourself. I don't want to be the way I was. I want to be different. I want to be changed. I want to be like Him. Then don't put it all on Him. Do your part. Forgive. Forgive our debtors. He's forgiven us a lot of debts. The story is told of a threat, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe it took place in New England, maybe at the real tea party, as they say in Boston. A threat to the sailors. They received word that the storm was going to come from many directions and probably were going to topple the boats. And one captain said to his, team, crew, to his crew, throw the anchor out. And the man said to him, sir, we have already thrown the anchor out. And the boat was swaying, and as were all the others there in that bay port. And he said, don't we have another anchor? Yes, sir. We have a secondary. Well, put it in on the other side. You know the end of the story, don't you? It was the only boat that was safe through that storm because it had a double portion. Two anchors. My anchor holds within the veil. Oh, church, don't fear the future. Don't fear the future. I don't know what's going to happen. Devalue the dollar? Probably. Probably. I don't know what they're going to do. I think it was Ronald Reagan, and forgive me if I'm misquoting, who said, socialism only works in one place, and that's hell. I don't know. Someone long ago wrote a song, I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I know all the stuff that comes through media and all that. So what? So what should we do? Well, we should get ready. You got that right. We should get ready. Where's your anchor? Where's your anchor? The Bible says, those who fear the Lord shall laugh in famine. Hallelujah! Woo! What if they take it all away? Hallelujah! My anchor holds. My anchor holds. The same God that has delivered you over and over in the past is still there to deliver, to save. But He needs people who are healed and made whole and who walk in holiness like Church for the Nations. To the Church of God in Corinth. To Christ for the Nations. To Church for the Nations, rather. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be His holy people, together with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Now, church, of course our focus is here. This is where we worship. This is where we give our tithes and our offerings. This is where we pick up intercession concerns and pray for our leaders. But don't ever think that we're the only church that has this call. If we don't have a concern, as this scripture says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, if we don't recognize the rest of the churches who have the same vision, they may be carrying it out a little differently, but they have the same vision. If we don't recognize them, we will make this generation pass away as many before us have, not having fulfilled their purpose. Is that too long? Did you get it? The sentence was very long. But Paul's were longer. We have to learn to recognize we're not alone in this. It isn't just us. I'm only responsible just for me. Isn't that good? See, God has people out there praying for me. I don't know who they are. Every once in a while I get an email saying, I heard you in 19, blah, 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 and the Lord brought you to mind today. Little did they know what I was going through. That's the body of Christ. You are members. We are each members one of the other. Pastor is away today, probably watching on this. I hope it works. Love you, Pastor. People from everywhere get our tapes. This thing goes throughout the world. Patricia goes throughout the world. Others go throughout the world. Bob and Deb go throughout the world. When they go down to Puerto Rico, they don't go down there and sit on the beach. They go down there and work. I tell them to sit on the beach, but they do. If there's a need, they can't help it. Those kids can't help it. It's inside them. They have been made whole. They have been healed of the past. And they're full of the God that healed them. And there's holiness in their life. They're not trying to be holy. They just... God is within them. The beauty of Jesus shines through them. And when they see a need, they can't help. They cannot turn away. I've watched them. They just cannot walk away. They have to stop and make an attempt to meet that need. Is that unique? It shouldn't be. Why do you think you were in that restaurant, hearing that conversation, sitting beside those people? Why do you think these things happen to you? I don't know. They just always seem to happen to me. Tsunami. It is a prophetic awakening when the Lord is saying, hey, lion, get up and shake your mane. I have great work for you to do. I have things for you to represent. And Jesus, when he went... There's a teaching today called inclusion. And of course, like all good teaching, it's gone crazy. Everyone's going to be saved. Everyone's blah, blah, blah. Whether they ever repent of sin, it's not necessary. Jesus died for the world. You know better. You read your Bible. But there is something I want to talk about, an inclusion. 1 Thessalonians 3. May he strengthen your heart so that you will all be blameless and holy in the presence of God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he comes for his holy ones. 1 Thessalonians 4 says that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. For God did not call us to be impure. God called us to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, here's what he's saying, and I'm through. I put my Holy Spirit in you. I gave you holiness. All I'm asking is for you to demonstrate it. Let's stand. Prayer warriors, workers, altar. Where were you when I was talking? Do you need the healing in your body, in your soul, in your mind, your spirit? Where were you during that? Don't you think it's time, church? Don't you think it's time for you to shed all the songs we sing about being free and all of that? Don't you think it's time? How long has it been since you witnessed to anybody? How long has it been since you gave a testimony of what God's already done in you? Don't you think it's time to make a public commitment? You don't have to be prayed for hours. I just want you to come down and tell these wonderfully spirit-filled workers, here's what God's been dealing with me, and I'm this day taking a stand. If that's you, make your way out now. Let's come. Come on. I am today making a stand. Here they come. I am today making a stand. I'm going to be different from this day forward. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be whole. I'm going to be made like Jesus. And I'm not going to keep it quiet. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it to everyone I meet. I'm going to stop complaining about my negatives. I'm going to start praising like never before. I'm going to let the glory and lifter of my head do his job. And I'm going to be that for someone else. You need to make that declaration. Just come forward, say it to the person. Ask God to help you keep it and do it. You've been wonderful. You even smiled at me while I spanked you. I thank you for it. I thank you for coming. I think you'll come back tonight. When you do, there's going to be a power of God manifest. But if you still need to make this declaration, or if you need prayer, I know Pastor always says, if you need prayer of any kind, well, of course I want you to come if you need prayer. That's what we're here to do. Things are happening. God is here. How many were healed in the pew today? How many of you know you were absolutely, look at the hands, you were absolutely touched by the Lord? See, it just takes a word sometimes. Just a word that is believed brings healing and hope and holiness. Oh, come on, church, throw out your other anchor. Throw out that pride. Make your way. If this is your first time here, I'm sorry Pastor's not here. He would have blessed you. I bless you with peace and comfort and joy and understanding of the Word and with the revelation that has to come to each one of us because the time is short. I believe Jesus is coming soon. How many believe that? Go with the Holy Spirit and take your challenge as a commission. I bless you.